It's coming home. It's coming. Football's coming home. It's coming home.
Oh yeah, it's coming home. That's what they're singing in England as their team appears in its first World Cup semifinal since 1990. Joining us to talk about the latest World Cup news and other big sports stories is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hey, Bill, welcome back to Radio Boston.
It may not be, Anthony.
Okay. So England and
I don't want to be unduly gloomy, okay. But it may not be.
All right. So England and Croatia are playing right now for a spot in Sunday's final. You want to bring us up to date?
Yeah, it's tied.
Tied 1-1.
Yeah.
73 minutes in.
I emailed a fellow fan a few minutes into the game and said all England has to do now is hold on for 84 minutes.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
But they didn't. No. Yeah, they were ahead 1-0 right up until a few minutes ago.
1-0 is the way we say it.
Okay. I want to talk, though. Okay, so it's 1-1. But England, this is their first appearance in the semifinal since 1990. They've had a really good run. How surprising has this been?
I think it's been surprising. I looked it up coming into this, and England was not in the top 10 of the teams that as FIFA ranked them before the tournament began. In fact, they were 12th. Germany, of course, went out early. Brazil gone. Belgium gone. Portugal gone. Argentina gone. I'm going down the list of the top teams as FIFA ranked them. So it was a bit surprising. And Croatia, a bit of a surprise to get this far as well. It's very interesting. France is the closest thing to not a surprise.
Right. And we should say France.
And that's whoever wins this game today is going to have to play France.
Right. Okay. Well, France, as we mentioned, so that it earned a spot in Sunday's final match. They beat Belgium yesterday 1-0. Here's some sound from the game winner.
Griezmann with the corner, kicking Umtiti, arriving on the near post, there's the breakthrough, it's Samuel Umtiti for France, and France now can sniff the World Cup final.
Yeah, they can do sniff it, they're there.
Yeah, I want to thank you for not running the sound that had goal going on for about 20 minutes, because it's good, it's exciting, it's
right.
Great, but
we've heard it enough.
A little tiresome.
Yeah, well, tell us about France's team, how good they've been in this tournament.
All you need to do is look at the result. So far, they've been exceptionally good, caught some teams by surprise, but played very, very fine soccer and good ball control. And not a surprise that they, like most of the other teams that have gone deep into the tournament, have specialized in scoring off set pieces, either corner kicks or free kicks. And they've just done a little better than the teams they've been playing against.
And do you think they're the favorite? I mean, depending upon whether they take on Croatia or England in the final?
Well, I'm going to go with the emotional side, which is the way I generally watch soccer. If England manages to get by Croatia, I've got to say that England is the favorite just because of all of these people shouting in the place where soccer was at least allegedly invented, that the cup is coming back. The emotional lift that they would get by getting by Croatia and getting into the final would be, I think, enormous. England, France, what a wonderful idea. There was a time when those countries were not friendly.
Right. To say the least.
A couple of centuries, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, just a short while ago. I want to come back to this idea that all of these powerhouses that were knocked out, Argentina, Portugal, Spain sent home, Brazil, Argentina, Germany, Italy, not even there.
Yeah, Netherlands didn't make the tournament either. Yeah. Another team that's been very successful in previous World Cups.
So what's that done overall to this tournament in your view? Made it better, more interesting?
Well, I'm not one of those people who can draw just one conclusion. And the reason I say that, Anthony, is that these teams went out for different reasons.
Yeah.
Argentina, for example, just to pick one, they just were disorganized. I mean, there's some wonderful players on that team, including Leo Messi, arguably the best player in the world, but they were struggling, fighting with their coach. At one point, there was a report that the players had gotten together and told the coach to stop giving them instructions because they weren't going to listen to him anyway. Spain, historically, magnificently successful team over the last decade or so and more, It just didn't seem to be sufficiently organized, sufficiently have a plan going forward. They looked actually pretty good in their first game. They scored 3 goals in a tie against Portugal, but then just didn't seem to have the kind of flair. They possessed the ball brilliantly, as they always do, and then didn't seem to know what to, you know, how to get the ball in the net. So teams failed to advance for different reasons, and I'm not sure you can really draw any conclusion except to say that it's been very exciting, and I'm delighted to say that the ratings in this country finally began to go up after they were a little bit disappointing in the early rounds, I guess because the U.S. wasn't there.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting tournament. And this game, Croatia-England, fascinating. We got to turn to some sports closer to home. The Red Sox have been on an absolute tear. Last night they won their 8th game in a row, 8-4 over the Texas Rangers. They're now 3.5 games ahead of the Yankees in the AL East, best record in baseball. What's been your biggest takeaway from this winning streak?
One of the things that's most interesting to me is that they've done this for the most part without Dustin Pedroia.
Yeah.
And it was not so very long ago that people were talking about Dustin Pedroia as the face of the Red Sox. And of course, he's had bad injury problems and not been available. And they have managed to fill in and have people take over the not only his position at second base, but producing runs at a terrific rate, taking even ineffectual pitchers off the hook, you know, and their relief pitching has been more solid, I think, than a lot of people thought it might be as well.
And Chris Sale, 3 or 4 games in a row with more than 11 strikeouts.
He
seems to be in that unhittable phase right now. So before we run out of time, I want to get to the Boston Celtics briefly. There's been a lot of talk about whether Marcus Smart will be with the team next year. He's made it known that he's unhappy that the Celtics haven't offered him a multi-year deal yet. He feels underpaid. So bring us up to date with the latest on the Marcus Smart situation and how important he is to this team.
Well, I think he's very important. Anybody who watched the Celtics in their playoff run this time around knows that he's an extremely important player. He was, of course, more important with Kyrie Irving out during that stretch. But going forward, I would think he'd be very important. It's an interesting case because this is one of these the personal cases where you can sort of say, what's more important to this guy, maximum amount of earnings or being with a team that really does, especially with LeBron James changing addresses recently, a team that really does have a pretty good shot at the Eastern Conference Championship, which means they'd play for all the beans next spring. This is, of course, what players say is most important to them. Yes, after the first $10 million, how important is the next $10 million? No, the really important thing is to play for a ring. And not all that many teams, as you look around the NBA, have a genuine opportunity to do that. The Celtics kind of are one of those teams. So, you know, were I him or were I advising him, I'd say, what's more important to you, an extra couple of million dollars or actually having a shot at the cup?
All right. Well, I hope he's listening. Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, which airs right here on WBUR, Saturdays at 7 in the morning and again at 7 in the evening. Bill, as always, thank you.
Pleasure, Anthony.
And that's it. Stay with us. Coming up, what the history of Wisconsin can teach us about the future of progressive politics in America. We're going to talk to the author of The Fall of Wisconsin. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.